This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I welcome you to worship today on August 30th with New Providence Presbyterian Church in Maryville, Tennessee. Please let us know you're here. Drop a note in the comments section there and help us to welcome others. There's a link there also for the bulletin, which will have the lyrics for the music we'll sing today, as well as a number of announcements. Later in the service, there will be a link in that section to connect to online donations if you would like to support our ministries that way. You're also welcome to mail a check to the church office, or as many of us have done, you can set up an automatic draft from your account that will go directly to the church. Penny Bever, our business administrator, can help you if you'd like to do that. Thank you for continuing to be so generous. Thanks also to all of you who participated in our congregational meeting last week to call Reverend Rachel Parsons Wells as our new associate pastor. Please know that your pastor has made a note that singing via Zoom is not a good idea. But for our first attempt at a congregational meeting, I think we did okay. We'll have another chance to test that out on September 27th when we hold our annual congregational meeting. That's when we'll present the budget and new officers will be elected. You can go ahead and mark that on your calendar. I remind you also about morning prayer on Tuesdays at 9 o'clock in the pavilion. Finally, a number of you are wondering how you can help with hurricane relief after the hurricanes in the Gulf this week. As soon as we get information from Presbyterian Disaster Assistance, we will make that available to you, and I guarantee you that that is money well used. Now, let us turn our hearts to worship. Please join me in the call to worship. Come, my heart says, seek God's face. You, O Lord, do we seek. We come to glimpse the face of God. May we hear God's voice and respond to God's call. Let us worship God.
Join us in singing, I Surrender All.
I God said to Moses, I am who I am. And it is because of who God is that we can come before God with confidence, confessing our sins and asking for forgiveness. If you would join me as we lift our prayer of confession this morning, which you will find scrolling at the bottom of your screen. Let us pray now together. You call us to be your voices in this world, and we stay silent. You call us to be your hands in this world, and we keep them hidden. You call us to be your feet in this world, and we go our own way. When we meet those who are doubting and say nothing, forgive us. When we meet those who need your touch and do nothing, forgive us. When we are called to take up your cross and carry nothing, forgive us. Breathe life into these bones. Bring freedom to these lives that we might declare with heart and soul and voice that you are our Lord and our God. God assures Moses, I will be with you. Hear the good news, friends. We are not resigned to sin. In our Lord Jesus Christ, our sins are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Good morning, friends. I'm so happy to be here with you all this morning. I hope you are doing well and had a great week with school. All right, so speaking of the week, I want you to think, what day of the week is it today? Right now, what day of the week is it? If you said today is Sunday, you're right. Now, I want you to think, how do you know what day of the week it is today? How did you know it was Sunday? Some of you might be saying, well, I asked my mom and my mom told me it was Sunday, or I checked the calendar. But I bet a lot of you all knew today is Sunday because right now, we are having church. Every day at school, I talk to my boys and girls about the days of the week. Monday is the beginning of the week. Friday is the end of the week. And one day, a little boy told me that Sunday is church day. And in my mind, I knew, hey, Sunday is church day. It's easy for us to remember Sunday because it's the day when we do church things like listening to a sermon, singing, spending extra time in prayer, or extra time reading the Bible. Church things. In the scripture Miss Emily is going to read to us today, Jesus talks about church things and stuff. The other stuff that we do as people that isn't church things. Now, Jesus didn't say church things and stuff. Jesus said divine things, God things, and human things, people things. In our lives, we treat divine or God things, the church things, as very important, and they are. Spending time in worship and reading and learning from our Bible, praying and listening are all very important things. But sometimes as people, we forget that the stuff is important too. Making your bed, going to the grocery store, walking the dog, doing your homework. Did you know that the people things, the stuff, are important too? They are. When we pray, when we read the Bible, when we listen to a sermon, we know without a doubt God is there in all of those moments. But God is there in the stuff too. When you smile at someone at the grocery store, when you show respect to your parents by doing your chores without arguing, when you walk your dog and enjoy God's world around you, God is with you in all of those moments. Church day feels special, and it is. But the rest of life, the stuff that doesn't seem so special, it's special too. Because even in the most ordinary, boring, everyday moments, we have something special because in those moments, God is right there too. And knowing that, every day can be a church day in our hearts. Will you pray with me? Dear God, we thank you that Sunday does not have to be the only day that is a church day in our lives. Remind us that you are with us everywhere we go in everything we do, no matter how simple or ordinary it seems. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I love you guys and I miss you guys and I hope you have a fantastic week at school and I cannot wait until we are together again. Love you. Bye, sweet friends.
Our scripture reading this morning comes from the 16th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. I begin the reading in verse 21. From that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, God forbid it, Lord, this must never happen to you. But Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things. Then Jesus told his disciples, if any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Holy One, through the power of your Holy Spirit, move within us and among us as we hear your word. Open our eyes to your presence. Open our ears to your call. Open our hearts to one another. And then send us back out into the world to live and work as your faithful disciples. Amen. When I graduated from Princeton Seminary, and then again when I was ordained, several of my parents' friends wanted to give me a gift. They asked my mother what sort of thing might be appropriate, and she said, you know, she's a young woman starting out. She'll need all those things that any young woman in that position might need. Dishes, kitchen things, glassware, gift cards for a new wardrobe. Just whatever you do, she always added, whatever you do, don't give her a gold cross or a Bible. Guess what I got? Gold crosses and Bibles. As if somehow I had made it through 3 years of a graduate theological education without access to a Bible or two. And the truth is, I've never been much of a cross wearer. Wearing one is a very personal decision, and I always fear that I'll come across as self-aggrandizing. I guess it depends on motive. If someone wears one for the sole purpose of saying, hey, look at me, I'm a better Christian than you because I'm wearing a cross, that's problematic. But I put this one on today because it's been on my mind this week. It was a gift from my parents when I was in junior high school, and it's always been very special to me. I just don't wear it very often. The cross takes center stage in this morning's scripture reading. Jesus tells his disciples that he's on his way to Jerusalem, where some of the influential religious and community leaders will torture and kill him, and that on the third day he will be raised from the dead. Peter is appalled. This does not fit his vision of what a Messiah should be. A Messiah should be decisive and powerful. A Messiah should be a winner, and this looks like Jesus is going to be a loser of the worst sort. So he pulls Jesus aside and chastises him. You can't say things like that. What are people going to think? You want people to follow you, and nobody's going to follow someone who's going to get crucified. Poor Peter. Just 5 verses earlier, Jesus called Peter the rock and said that on that rock he would build his church. But that great honor has now turned into shame, because instead of the foundation stone, Jesus now says Peter has become a scandalon, a stumbling block, because he cannot comprehend that Jesus' kingdom is of a different sort altogether. Get behind me, Jesus says, you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things. Peter's got the world sorted out, he thinks, one column for each. This is what winners do, this is what losers do. This is divine, this is human. Peter is sure he knows what goes in the divine column, soaring prayers in majestic temples. Unstoppable strength and miraculous power, radiant glory and endless ease. Surely those are the qualities of a Messiah. And surely aiming toward those ideals is what brings disciples closer to God. Likewise, in the human column, that's where grief and pain belong. That's where brokenness and conflict should go. All of the grittiness and sorrow of this world, that's what human surely means. And Jesus certainly can't go down that road. But I think that in his attempt to protect Jesus, Peter makes a category mistake. He swaps the titles at the top of the two columns. It turns out that Peter's daydreams of the divine are instead very human. Our projection of what God is like. Like Peter, we imagine a God who is remote and magical, invincible and impeccable, a God far removed from our concerns. That's not the God revealed in and by Jesus. It's just a figment of human imagination. Because what we see in Jesus is very different. The divine things of his own life include betrayal and hypocrisy and suffering and death. And paradoxically, the hardest and the lowest things, the inescapable realities of human life, are often the most divine. So it occurs to me that rather than columns of this thing or that thing, Peter might be well served with a Venn diagram. You know, that the overlapping circles that identify what two or more different ideas have in common. This is one of my favorites. The bank robbers and the disc jockeys say, "Everybody on the floor!" The DJs and the preachers ask their audiences, "Are you with me?" The preachers and the bank robbers say, "Give me all your money." And all three of them say, "Put your hands up." I show you that because, as I said, I think Peter might be well served by a Venn diagram. Because the truth for most of us is that the most divine, the most holy moments of our lives are often the messiest, the most difficult, the least perfect. Human things and divine things always overlap. In the Venn diagram of our lives, we find glory and suffering, power and vulnerability, death and new life. We find the one who tells us to set our mind on what's divine because he knows that what's most divine is also most human. Last week in my sermon, I mentioned the butterfly effect, that explanation of chaos theory that says that if a butterfly flaps its wings in Beijing in March, it could change hurricane patterns in the Atlantic in August. Afterwards, Rachel texted me to say that was the sermon she always heard from her mother growing up. You change the world by being alive in it. And I think that's exactly right. Because wherever we go, we carry Christ with us. We human beings bear God's presence, God's divinity into the world, and that changes the world. A few years ago, when the acronym OMG, Oh My God, was starting to come into popular use, someone at the Daily Times got the idea that they should write an article on it. Clearly, it was a very slow news day. So they called up several preachers, including me, to ask, is OMG taking the Lord's name in vain? Is it cussing? I honestly don't remember if the article drew any conclusions, but I remember telling the reporter that it really didn't bother me. Because when someone says that, when something happens that's so startling that it makes you say, OMG, or even, oh my God, it's expressing the deep, unspoken needs of our souls. It is inviting God into that circumstance, that situation. It is asking God to be present with us. Thinking about all that is what made me decide to wear this cross today. What if its purpose were not to show the world who I am, but to remind myself who the world needs me to be? What if we were to see the cross not as a sign of victory or ethereal spirituality, but instead as a reminder that justice and liberation and compassion and mercy and speaking up for those who the world would crucify are all very, very holy things. God talk, words alone, do nothing. Jesus tells us to get behind him and follow, to bring God into the world and to take up our cross, whatever that might look like, so that like him, we can offer new life. Amen.
In peace, let us pray to God responsively, saying, hear our prayer after the spoken words of merciful God. For the Church of Jesus Christ, merciful God, hear our prayer. Bless the church, deliver it from evil, and make it holy in every way, that all people may see the light of your salvation through the witness of your faithful servants. For our pastors, teachers, and ministers, merciful God, hear our prayer. Motivate the leaders of your church to prophetic witness, Reverend J. Herbert Nelson, Judge Shaw, Emily Anderson, Loughton Young, Stan Russian, Rachel Parsons Wells, and Gloria Mincer. Help us to proclaim your justice courageously, to express your righteousness sincerely, and to practice your mercy generously. For the leaders of this world, merciful God, hear our prayer. Uphold the leaders of governments, especially President Trump, Governor Lee, Mayors Ed Mitchell, Tom Taylor, and Clint Abbott. Give them sound judgment and merciful hearts, and lead them to do what is right in upholding the common good. For the good earth, merciful God, hear our prayer. Let earth be a gentle home for us. Calm the intensities of storms, hurricanes, and fires, and heal all the destruction we have caused. We pray for life to thrive and every creature rejoice in the goodness of creation. For children, merciful God, hear our prayer. Bless the children and those who care for them. Protect our children, enable them to increase in mind and body and grow in wisdom and strength. Give them parents and caregivers who are faithful in their duty to provide for their needs and shield them from all danger. For the sick and those in distress, merciful God, hear our prayer. Heal those who are sick in body, mind, and spirit, and uphold those who are able to support them in their need. These prayers we offer through Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now, with the confidence of God's children, let us pray together the prayer Jesus taught the disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
The abundance of God's creation is not meant to be a stumbling block. God gives so that we may learn to give. God blesses so that we may learn to become a blessing to others, like this kitchen and all of the people who have served in it to cook meals, plate meals, and hand out meals to our neighbors every Tuesday at Welcome Table. The ministries of this church could not continue without your generosity. And so with gratitude for all that God continues to do through this congregation, we bring forth our offering this week.
Join us in singing, I Will Follow.
Follow you. Lie into the
Friends, go now to follow Jesus in the way of the cross. May God hear your cries and deliver you. May Christ Jesus repay you with fullness of life. And may the Holy Spirit be with you, always nourishing you with love and hope. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen.